When I was a kid, after dinner, my mom would always look into my bowl because I wasn't allowed to have anything left in there. She had a saying, every grain of rice you leave will be another pockmark on your future wife's face, which you know, sounds a little more poetic in Chinese, but no less sexist. Anyway, I learned to clean my plate at the table, but it wasn't until like 30 years later when I started looking at my trash can in the kitchen, and there was all kinds of food in there. The greens from a bunch of beets, the dark parts of leeks, which for some reason every recipe tells you to throw out but are totally delicious. You know, all kinds of stuff. Something like 40% of all the food grown in America ends up being thrown out. It rots in landfills, it spews out greenhouse gases, and it all turns into one huge stinking problem. Well, Mads Refland, a chef, and Tama Matsuoka Wong, a home cook and forager, are trying to help change that with their new book, Scraps, Wilts, and Weeds. It's a cookbook on making delicious things out of the stuff you usually toss, and our contributor, Melissa Clark, talked with Mads and Tama about how they cook this way.
Mads, Tama, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So tell me, what is trash cooking?
So I think trash cooking is cooking from things that we would normally throw away. So for example, peels of vegetables, stems of the broccoli, coffee grounds, weeds.
So all these roots, all these stems, all these scales from fish, fish eyes, fish heads, or whatever you could find of throwing away, we tested it. And actually, we did a lot of testing and we threw a lot away to actually came up to the final result. So it was like a process.
And in fact, it's not something that we've just invented. Now, this is how people always cooked and ate. We just stopped cooking that way because we get everything in little packages now. I think it's also a cultural decision that some of it is already made for you by the time you go to the grocery store. But it's also a personal decision that you just decide something is bad or something's good. It's just you don't have to think that way, but it's a decision that's made at some level.
In the book, you write about part of having the knowledge to be able to do this is to see a lot of the foods in the fields before you bring them into the restaurant or into your own home kitchen. How is that helpful for people?
I think it's important to see the whole part because let's just say you get a fish fillet and you can never see how fresh it is. You can smell it, of course, but you can never look into the eyes of it and say, okay, this is really fresh. Or a whole vegetable, you know, if you don't have the leaves around the cauliflower, if it's just coming in a plastic, you know, you cannot see if it's fresh or you cannot feel it.
One of the foods that you say is has the most wasted parts is lettuce, for example. So tell us about how we can use the whole thing or what we should be looking for.
I do have a funny story about lettuce, romaine lettuce, which is one of the most commonly used lettuces. And so Mads was very obsessed with getting the whole lettuce. And he forced me to take him out to this farm, and he told the farmer to dig out the entire lettuce with the roots. It turns out the roots of the lettuce are very tiny, tiny things like your pinky. So to get a dish full of lettuce roots would require a huge amount of effort. And so then Mads was really focused on the bottom parts of the lettuce that people usually, they cut off the tops and they use that for their salad and they throw away the bottom part. And he got really, really into how delicious and amazing they were. And he put them on the menu at the restaurant he was at the time. And then the problem is they had all these leftover lettuce tops that people had to use. And they had too many of them. And they were just stacking up all over the kitchen. So then he came up with the wilted romaine lettuce tops that you can use if you have too much wilted tops because if you made all the bottoms.
That's funny. So what was formerly known as salad.
Yes.
What about, tell me about fish scales also, because that's something to Americans, we just do not think of eating those at all.
You just have to make it crispy. It tastes like chips. So as long as you pop them in oil, it's like popcorn in a way. Just make it with a lot of salt and maybe vinegar or something, like powdered vinegar. And it tastes like sour and onion chips in a way.
That's really
and every American likes chips, you know. So let's make it into something like that.
And in fact, there is a tradition in Japan, the izakaya for the bars, they serve crispy fried fish bones and scales and things as bar food.
I think if you fry anything, it becomes very delicious. Now, also, what about people love to juice? They use their juicers all the time. We throw out those juicing leftovers. What can we do with those?
Oh, there's so many things we can do with that. What we do in the book, we are using it for pancakes. So we dry it and then blend it, and you can use it in pancakes. So you could use it also, like Dan Barber is doing a vegan like burger. So mm-hmm. he's taking all the scraps and mix it up with eggs, I think, and roast it. But we do falafel with it. We do different pastas with it. And another thing, you can also just keep the pulp, dry it, and you can just keep it in storage. And when you need it, if you want to do a vegetable stock, like a broth, you just take it and mix it into water, hot water, and it would be like a dice of bouillon.
Wow. What about coffee grounds? This is another big problem for people, too many coffee grounds.
Coffee grounds is, it's very good you're asking about it in a way, because when I used to work at this place, this restaurant, in, we used it for panna cotta, we used it for sauces. But I thought it was very important because all the waiters was doing this coffee, and every time they did this cappuccino, they throw all the coffee grains away. So I said, okay, instead of throwing it out, just take this bucket here and you just throw it in there and I'll use it for something. So we started using it for panna cotta infusion into to milk and cream, perfect dessert. And then also we started using it for salads, like a, what do you call it, dressings, infuse that into vinegars, all these things.
There's a whole section that we have on sort of drinks and dregs, where you think that, you know, you put a tea bag or something and you just use it once and throw it away, but actually it still has a lot of flavor you can use. I think we have a used chamomile flavor in a cocktail.
You can just use it, put it into alcohol, just leave it there. And then the same with the coffee grounds, just put it into alcohol, vinegars, whatever you want, and it will take the flavor from the coffee.
I have learned a lot today from you two. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Mads Refland and Tama Matsuoka Wong are authors of Scraps, Wilts, and Weeds, Turning Wasted Food into Plenty. Melissa Clark's latest book is Dinner, Changing the Game. Mads and Tama left us with a bunch of recipes. You can find seared romaine lettuce bottoms, coffee ground panna cotta, and coffee ground biscotti on our website, splendidtable.org.